Nehemiah chapter 13. When the law of Moses was read aloud to the people, they came to that part that said that no Moabite or Ammonite could ever join God's people, because the Ammonites and Moabites refused to give food and water to the Israelites when they had left Egypt. Instead, those people gave money to Balaam to curse Israel, but our God turned the curse into a blessing. Remember, Balaam went out to curse Israel, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he ended up blessing them. And so when the people of Israel heard this law, they decided to separate from all Gentiles who were in the community. But they'd done this before. In Ezra's time, they'd married Gentiles, then they said sorry. They separated from those wives, even though that there were some women by whom they'd had children. And we read just a few chapters back in Nehemiah that they had even written a solemn agreement with God and signed it that they would not do this. Now they're doing it again. So you see how people are so weak. They repent, they reform their lives, and they slip back. And we mustn't be like this. The changes that we make should be permanent. And you're only going to make those changes permanent through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I mean the Holy Spirit, I don't mean the power to do miracles and to raise the dead and talk in foreign languages. That's all not around at this time. I mean the internal power of God in our spirit, in our mind, whereby the Spirit of Jesus is in our spirit, whereby he comes into our lives. That is the way that the changes that we make are permanent, and we don't sort of repent one minute and then slip back the next. Because that's what was happening here. Elisha the priest, who controlled the storerooms of the temple, had for a long time been in relationship with Tobiah. Now Tobiah was the Ammonite who was very against Nehemiah and all the good work of rebuilding the wall and the temple. And he'd allowed Tobiah to use one of the rooms that was meant to be for storing the offerings, one of the temple rooms. And he'd allowed him to use this as a kind of an office for his activities. One of the hard things that Nehemiah had to face was that his own people who were supposed to be on his side, on the side of God, were actually continually friendly with the enemy. This is very, very difficult to live with. Whilst this was happening, Nehemiah says, I was not in Jerusalem, because in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, the king of Babylon, I had had to return to give him a report. And only after some time did I get permission to return to Jerusalem. And that was when I was shocked to find that Eliashib had allowed Tobiah to have an office in the temple storerooms. I was so angry. I threw out all of Tobiah's stuff. I ordered that the rooms be purified, that means sprinkled, I guess, with water, and for all the equipment of the temple and the incense and the offerings that should have been stored in that room to be returned there. I also learnt that the musicians in the temple and some of the Levites had left Jerusalem and gone to their farms because the people hadn't given them the tithes on which they might live. So, instead of living a very modest life, they thought, they could, I suppose, have farmed a bit of land to just get a few basic crops. They just gave up. And so I found that the temple services had been neglected. Well, I brought the Levites and the Nethinim back to the temple and got them working again. Then all the Israelites again started bringing to the temple storerooms their tithes, the tithes of wine, olive oil, wheat. And I put men in charge of those storerooms, men whom I knew I could trust to be honest in sharing these supplies with others. Remember me, O my God, for all that I have done for your temple and for your work. But you see, it was only when Nehemiah was around that things were sort of done. When he went back for a bit to Artaxerxes in Babylon, then it all slipped again. This is the trouble. If we are only going to serve God whilst other people are in our lives, it could be a strong wife or mother or father or husband who sort of keep us spiritual and keep us strong, but when they're not around, we don't pray, we don't read the Bible, we don't serve God much, we just do our own thing. When they come back on the scene, oh yes, yes, we get on with it. Now, we mustn't be like that. We've got to serve God in our own name, as it were. We ourselves want to love him and serve him, not because someone else is in our lives constantly encouraging us. It's our duty to be the ones who encourage others so that we can be that pillar and tower of strength to others. At that time, I saw some people in Judah who were treading grape juice on the Sabbath. Probably it was the time of harvest, and they thought, oh yeah, must do it, must do it. I won't have good wine unless we tread the grapes right now. Well, it's a Sabbath, don't worry, we can still work on the Sabbath. Others were loading up their corn, wine, and grapes and their other harvests onto donkeys and taking them into Jerusalem to sell them. But I told them that they must not sell on the Sabbath. There were men who had come from Tyre living in Jerusalem, and they had brought fish, because Jerusalem isn't near the coast. But these men had come from the coast and they'd brought fish and other things to sell in the city on the Sabbath. And I said to the leaders of the Jews, this is an evil that you are doing. You are making the Sabbath to be not holy. It was for this reason that God punished your fathers, bringing destruction on this city. And now you are going to again bring down the wrath of God on Israel because you're breaking the Sabbath. So I ordered that the gates of the city should be shut at the beginning of every Sabbath. That would have been on a Friday evening. And as soon as evening began to fall on the Friday, and not to be opened again until the Sabbath was over. Such a shame, because in the prophecies of the Restoration in Isaiah, it says that Jerusalem would be like a city whose gates were always open. But no, because they were just so weak and so short-sighted that, no, we've got to make as much money as possible. We've got to work 7 days a week, trading and making money. Because of that, that didn't happen. Now, of course, it will happen ultimately when Jesus comes back. God's purpose will still come about in the end. I put some of my men at the gates to ensure that nothing was brought into the city on the Sabbath. So even though they shut the gates, he thought, yeah, they'll try and sneak round them somehow. The merchants who were selling their goods did come once or twice and camped outside the city walls on the Friday evening. But I warned them, do not wait here for morning to come, that is for the Saturday morning to come, so they could sell their goods and trade. I will chase you away if you keep doing this. From then on, they didn't return on the Sabbath. I ordered the Levites to make themselves pure and to guard the gates to make sure that the Sabbath was kept holy. But the thing is, you can't force other people to truly love God. You can't force other people to, for example, to keep the Sabbath. And he tried to, but really people have to keep it for themselves. They have to serve God of their own desire. Remember me, O my God, for all that I have done, and spare me according to your great mercies. At that time, I also found that many of the Jewish men had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half their children spoke in the language of Ashdod or the other local languages and did not know how to speak Hebrew. So I called down curses upon them. I beat them. I pulled out their hair and I made them swear in the name of God that never again would they or their children marry Gentiles. Well, they'd signed the agreement earlier in Nehemiah, that we promised to God that we will not do this. Then they done it again, despite signing an agreement, and now they do it again. And they had done it previously in Ezra's time, and he'd made them separate from these women. Now you see how weak people were. And all you can conclude is, yeah, there was a few faithful people like Ezra and Nehemiah who stirred up the people and got them to do the right thing, but as soon as those people were not around, they just slipped back. And so it is, I think, that although we cannot judge, I do think that there's probably very few true Christians. So many people are caught up in the culture of what they believe and yet take them out of their church, take them out of the influence of strong-minded, the few strong-minded towers of strength which there are, and they will probably fall away. And we mustn't be like that. We must believe, because we know that Jesus is real and that God is real and that we are responsible to him and he loves us and has got wonderful plans for us. I said to them, it was Gentile women who made King Solomon to sin. There was no man like him amongst all the kings of the nations. God so loved him and made him the king over Israel, and yet even he sinned in this way. Are we then to follow your example and disobey God by marrying Gentile women? Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, had a son who had married the daughter of Sanballat. So I made Joiada leave Jerusalem. You see, even the son of the high priest had done this. Remember me, O my God, for how these people have defiled the office of the priesthood and have broken your covenant. I purified the people from everything that was unclean. I prepared the laws for the priests and the Levites so that they would each know clearly what their duty was before God. I arranged the wood offering so that the offerings could be brought and sacrificed at the proper time in the right way. And I arrange for the people to bring their first fruits as required. Remember me, O my God, according to all that I have done for this people. Well, we're not saved by works, and I think Nehemiah does veer a bit to that side of trusting in his works, but the point is that, sure, he made them pure. He purified them. He arranged, yes, you must do this, you must do that, wrote it out all very clearly. But then when he wasn't around, they didn't do it. This is what is so tragic. And this is where you see the need for personal relationship with God. This is why we must read the Bible and pray for ourselves, whether or not our husband, wife, mother, father, whoever it is with us. Not just when we go to church or we're involved in church meetings. This has got to be something absolutely personal, because Jesus loves you personally and we need to respond to him so that no matter what happens, you can stand with your back to the world and everyone can turn against you and everyone could turn away from God and turn away from Jesus. But we will not do so because we know him and his love.